إِنَّ الدِّينَ عِنَّ اللَّهِ الْإِسْلَامِ. The religion to God is Islam, al-Islam. The question is, why is there Sunni and Shia? You see, when two groups of people call themselves Muslims and they do things differently but use the same source, then you have to differentiate. It's illogical otherwise, because once there's a difference, for example, if you're the only human being in the world and there's no other human being, you probably will not give yourself a name. There's no need, there's no difference. The minute there's a second human being next to you, now you need a name, because you're both humans. So now I need to differentiate between the two of you, and therefore we give the names. The question we should be asking is that since Allah forbids sectarianism, then we must ask, who came after the original? Who caused this fitna? That's the question we should be asking. So whoever came after the true Islam and started a sect, if you want to call it, or started a difference from what the Prophet did, that's the one that Allah is condemning in the Quran. The one who is sectarian is the one who is the troublemaker. That's the question we should be asking. Otherwise, it's a natural consequence. It's not the fact that we want to keep up with it. As much as we say, look, we don't give ourselves the name Sunni or Shia, beautiful. We don't need to, we shouldn't. If we can avoid it, not a problem. The question is this, as the brother mentioned. Let's say we're going to pray together. One person folds their hand, the other one keeps it open. We're both Muslims. The one looks at the other and says, we're both Muslims. We're both obeying the same Prophet. We're both reading the same Quran. We're both following the same Sunnah. How can you fold your hands? How come I keep my hands open? Now, you and I have to go back and ask, well, did the Prophet keep his hands open or did he fold it? But if you go back in history, you'll find that the further away you get from Medina, the more drastic the folding of the hands become. And therefore, Imam Malik, who was from Medina, stated that there is no evidence at all that the Holy Prophet ever folded his hands, and therefore those who follow me, make sure your hands are open. So who are we following? We're following an Imam who came later after the Prophet, who now did the ijtihad to figure out what's right, what's wrong. So when we go to Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah, as you mentioned, 73 sects, correct? What I say to my Sunni brothers is, you have already accepted four who are different from each other in some of the rules. Why not accept the fifth? Sheikh Shaldut in Al-Azhar, correct? But Mahmoud Shaldut passed the fatwa that the Ja'fari school of thought is the fifth madhab. What's wrong with us calling all of us Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah? Right? But since in Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah you have four schools of thought, they pray in some ways, slightly, and I say in principle we're all the same, Sunni and Shia, but slightly different in the way we fold our hands. So therefore we have four subsects within that set. Of the 73 that you mentioned on the hadith, which is accepted in both schools of thought, is one of them Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah, or is Shafi'i, Maliki, Hanbali and Hanafi four of the 73? And if it is, which by the way, it is the latter and it is accepted, then we've got a problem even within the school of the Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah, because the three other, whoever the third three are within the four, is also part of the problem. So now, why not unite? That's why I like Sharifuddin in that discussion of Al-Buraja'ah, when he's having discussion with Sheikh Salim, he says to him, I want us to be united, but why don't you four become one? And let us unite, then we all become one Ummah. So the question is that this naming convention and the way we have it has to be understood properly with a clear understanding, and then we come to the conclusion that at the end of the day we must not follow, and I conclude on this, we must not follow a religion because of historical facts. Every religion in the world has gone astray, and I say this seriously with my heart, because they adapted and they adopted a religion on the basis of historical events. Religion must never be guided by history. Principle must guide the value of history, not the other way around. History must not guide my principle. My principle from God should guide the value of history, because history is mixed with good and evil, both. And if we're going to cherry pick because something happened in history, and we say that is what God wanted, then the evildoers who are supporting evil kings are also right, because history also allowed them to rule, and therefore they should also be right.
No. Maybe I shouldn't ask a question. It seems like it's taken too long already.
No, we have time. Otherwise, we would have given you the microphone.
Okay. Well, regarding classism, do you think that plays a significant role in enhancing the divide between Sunnis and Shias?
Regarding?
Classism. If somebody has a higher socioeconomic status than somebody else, like let's say maybe in Pakistan, or if a landlord, a wealthy lord, is a Sunni, and he works among peasant Shias, don't you think that the separation between them is stronger? They feel a certain power over the Shia, and they take that notion in relation to other Shia who may be making as much as they are, if not more.
You know, classism, class, racism, any other things, we do have a problem between Shias and Sunnis. And the problem is that, again, I will go back to the same thing, is that we're ignorant with each other. Therefore, it is easy to ignite strife between us, between each other. And if classism exists, it adds fuel to it. If geography exists, as we've seen in Iraq, it adds fuel to it. If race will exist, it would add fuel to it. So I don't think classism is the root cause of this. It could be a contributing factor.
May I ask another question?
You may go ahead.
A sequel. On issues of moral philosophy, what are the differences between Sunnis and Shias?
You know, that probably can take all evening. In the issue of moral philosophy, what are the differences between Shias and Sunnis?
Divine justice from one school of thought to another, ethics.
This is a subject that actually is hardly debated. Among intra-Shia debate, intra-Sunni debate. But I will summarize it in this. As I mentioned in my speech, there are two schools of thought about this. There is a school of that that says, in order for God to be God, he has to be just. Therefore, justice is a positive attribute of God. Others who say, in order for God to be God, he doesn't have to be just, but he's always just. And they actually bring this hadith that the Prophet says that there are many people who will worship Allah all of their lives, but at the moment of their death, they will have doubt and they will go to hell. And they use this as, hey, it's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it doesn't matter how much you can worship him, if he wants to, he can put you in hell. Now the argument is a theological and ilm al-kalam argument, if I explain that. You know, otherwise the subject is vast, and I think we should limit it to the things that people are looking for tonight.
Thank you very much for giving me the opportunity to attend this program, and I thank everybody who attend the program here. I just want to have a couple of comments on the speeches here. The problem in Iraq, I think, is not basically Sunni and Shia. We've been living for centuries, Sunni and Shia in Iraq. We don't have this fighting. It's not cultural. So there should be something that came in with the occupation of this country, which been induced, and a couple of criminals whom they've been paid by somebody else who is trying to initiate this problem. So I can assure my sisters and all that can be here that the problem in Iraq is not a matter of Sunni and Shia. I mean, our brothers Sunnis, we've been living with them, they don't kill us. And we are Shia, we don't kill Sunnis. The problem is a little bit beyond this thinking. Though this lecture and this explanation of the sect is important, and it's unfortunate that it's for the Iraqis to come in this time, because it looks like we are explaining something. We are not explaining what happened in Iraq, we are just explaining the presence of these sects. The second issue is the issue of the Prophet was not Sunni or Shia. Well, neither the Prophet nor Isa was a Protestant or Catholic, nor the Jew, and Prophet Moses was this. I mean, these sects comes after that. And all wherever you go, there's difference in people. But the best, the most important issue of it is to understand each other, though we are different. There is no similarity between me and you. You are from this place, I am from that place, but there's a lot of similarity that we love. Ahlul Bayt. Most of our Sunni brothers, they love Ahlul Bayt. Most of them, they adore Ahlul Bayt. There's a couple of people whom they they are not in the right track. They want to say we are the Sunnis, doesn't believe in this. But most of the Sunnis, all of the Sunnis, definitely they adore Imam Ali. All of the Sunnis, they adore most of the Imams. So we have just to